Good morning and greetings and welcome today to our worship service. And we're real delighted to have Brother Scott Schaefer with us from South Bend, and his wife Gigi is with us also, so we welcome them. And because we're going to look at the book of Habakkuk today. This morning I will go ahead, and then Brother Scott will go this afternoon. So again, we appreciate your prayers, and we'd prefer him going ahead of us, but he's excited to come behind us. So, and we're excited for this day, and it's a, you know, just a blessed day. And so we look forward to his word. let's turn to the book of 2 Chronicles for our first reading. The book is 2 Chronicles. And let's begin at chapter 34. Second Chronicles chapter 34. Now, part of my goal in reading out of Chronicles, and then we're going to read out some out of Jeremiah, is kind of set the history behind Habakkuk. Now, do we say Habakkuk or Habakkuk? Well, if you ask Siri, she says it's backache. So we could call it backache. I don't know, but I think you'll be delighted that we are looking at a minor prophet. You know, you go through, you know, don't you love the history of the Old Testament as you read through the history, and starting at Genesis and the patriarchs and the judges, and then you get into the kings, and it's just a fascinating history. And then I'm not going to hit every book, but then you get into Job. But what a wonderful book in Job. And then you got Psalms and Proverbs, and then the major prophets, and then the minor prophets. And they're not minor because they're less important. They're just smaller. They're very important. you know, and when I read through the Bible, I've done it different times. When I've read through the Bible, it's just amazing to me. Then the minor prophets were some of my favorite. But we want to set them in context. And let me read this little writing. It's called When I Read the Bible Through. And that's what we want, kind of, that's what I want to do this morning, is kind of give context of where Habakkuk sets. You know, you can just say, oh, it's a minor prophet, and it's just isolated. No, it's tied in all the way through. But just listen to this, and I think this is it convicts me. It's challenging. It's called When I Read the Bible Through. And it says, I suppose I knew more my Bible, reading piecemeal, hit or miss. Now a bit of John or Matthew, now a snatch of Genesis. Certain chapters of Isaiah, certain Psalms, the 23rd, the 12th of Romans, the 1st of Proverbs, yes, I thought I knew the word. But I found a thorough reading was a different thing to do, and the way was unfamiliar when I read the Bible through. You who like to play at Bible, dip and dabble here or there, just before you kneel aweary and yawn out a hurried prayer. You who treat the crown of writing, and again, this is to me, this convicts me. You who treat the crown of writing as you treat no other book, try a worthier procedure. Try a broad and steady view, and you will kneel in very rapture when you read the Bible through. And that is so true. When you get to Habakkuk, you think, this is awesome. This is amazing. When I read this book, and there are treasures in there, I feel like there are treasures in there that we miss just because we don't go there, and we don't know what it is. But it's tied in, and I pray that it'll communicate. I just want to set the context a little bit. 2 Chronicles 34. Ready? And we're going to skip around a little bit, and then we'll pray. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right nor to the left. Stayed on the narrow path. I love that. 8 years old. Now what happened when he was 16? Who's 16 in here today? Oh, I see some smiles. Okay, listen. This is great. 16 years old. Josiah, I love it. For in the 8th year of his reign, 8 and 8, 16, while he was yet young, he began to seek after God, the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And he break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on high above them. He cut down and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them and strode upon it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. So here comes Josiah. Josiah, a godly king. And I love his just his character and his commitment to the Lord and his change. 16 years old, he made a commitment to the Lord. I like that. Then he it says in the 12th year of his reign, that was when he was 20 years old. Who's 20? You know, the Bible's full of dates of different people. And I think they're significant. I personally do. You know, I found this king that was king for 35 years. And I thought, oh, yeah. And then it says in his 39th year. I've taught 30. And then, I've taught 40 years. This is my 40th year teaching. You know, is there any parallel to the king and me? And I make parallels. And it's very good. 16-year-olds make parallels. Are there any 8 years old kids in here? I bet there are. You know, you can make parallels. You can gather information. You can get insight from God's word. All scripture is profitable. All scripture. So here's Josiah comes on the scene. And he was a godly king. And he destroyed the idols. Go to verse 29. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up in the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. They opened up the Bible. They found the Bible. They opened it up and they read it, and it transformed the country. Verse 31. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord. This is what he did, Josiah, to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes and with all his heart, with all his soul, and to perform the words of the covenant which were written in the book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God. And the God of their fathers, I love this, look how it ends. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertaineth to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all the days, and all his days, they departed not from following the Lord and the God of their fathers. If you look at chapter 35, moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem. He started the Passover. And then go to verse 25. Verse 25 says, and Jeremiah, so in comes Jeremiah, and Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. And all the singing men, and this was his because he died. Josiah passed away, and Jeremiah wept at this time, and he lamented because a godly leader had passed from the scene. And so anyway, that just it's a great story of a godly king who rises in the nation of Israel and leads them back to the Lord, and we are thankful for that. Let's sing a hymn together. 120. Let's sing Jesus Lives. Hymn number 120. Beautiful song, great words. You know, it starts out, Jesus lives, verse 1, talks about Jesus living, verse 4, Jesus lives and I shall find life in him and full salvation. And we know that. He that hath the Son hath life. And he shall make your heart his habitation, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Weakness is overcome of thee, this my confidence shall be. Let's kneel in prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank thee that thou dost live even today. And Lord, that we can make our dwelling place, our habitation for thee in our heart. We can invite thee and to come into our life and to change us. And Father, we desire that thou wouldst do that. And Lord, that we could live for thee. And Father, we are thankful that thou dost give us the strength and the grace to do that, Father. And we just want to praise thee for that. We want to praise thee for this time together, a time in thy word, and even as we see Josiah and his heart, Lord, for thee, and as a young person that he turned to thee, and we're thankful even for the young people here in our church that have turned to thee. And Lord, we pray that they could be Josiahs, that they could grow it, and then at 16, maybe rededicate, and maybe at 20 rededicate, and you know, periodically, and for in the same for each one of us, Lord, that we could just renew our commitment to Thee, to walk with Thee, and to serve Thee, and we thank Thee for that. And Lord, we just appreciate the history lessons and how that Habakkuk ties in with Jeremiah and ties in with Chronicles and ties in with Daniel and Ezekiel. And Lord, the scripture becomes more and more alive as we put it together. And we thank Thee for that. We thank Thee for Thy word that, Lord, and we know that even in old times, that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost and recorded these words. And so, Father, we're grateful for that, for the truth of Thy word. And Lord, we ask for Thy blessing today upon each one of us, for each one that's here today. We pray, God, as we look to Thy word, that we could be reflective and we could be thoughtful. And Lord, that we could think about how it applies to us, and that we could be changed into Thy image and for Thy glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. Thanks. Okay, let's stay just a brief while longer in 2 Chronicles, and let's go to chapter 36 and find out, well, a little bit, maybe the insight into why Jeremiah was weeping, especially for Josiah, as he died a godly king, because there were four kings in this. There are four kings in chapter 36, and the first one reigned 3 months, the second one reigned 11 years, the third one reigned 3 months. And the last one reigned 11 years. It's just an interesting story. And then if you look at the nation, well, at that point, the nation of Israel's back. That's a miracle. They're back. But this wipes out Israel. Now, Israel becomes none. They're gone. They're defeated. But again, this is why is this important? Because it puts us in context with what Habakkuk, when Habakkuk ministers. And I think it's important. 36, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 1. Then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's stead in Jerusalem. So here comes a new king. And he was 23, verse 2, Jehoahaz was 20 and 3 years when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And he was carried away then into Babylon, verse 3, and the king of, I'm sorry, into Egypt, not Babylon yet, first Egypt. And the king of Egypt put him down at Jerusalem and condemned the land in 100 talents of silver and in 1 talent of gold. And the king of Egypt made Eliakim, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem. So we have 3 months was this first king. His brother took over. Look at verse 5. And Jehoiakim was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And at this, guess who comes on the scene at this time? Habakkuk. Jeremiah comes. I mean, Jeremiah is alive. We read about that. And Jeremiah, you read the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is written during this time. It brings Jeremiah alive. It brings Habakkuk alive. And scripture just becomes much more meaningful. So let's go to verse 9, and I don't want to be too piecemeal here, but if you can kind of think through this and kind of remember some of these names, we'll read about it in Jeremiah in just a minute, and then we'll get to Habakkuk. Verse 9, Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem. I mean, how can an 8-year-old for 3 months and 10 days do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord? I mean, what could he do? You know, I don't know. Interesting, isn't it? Interesting. So he did that with Ziba. So guess who they put up next? Verse 11. Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, his God. Guess who's weeping? Jeremiah's weeping. Guess who's teaching? Habakkuk. Well, no. Habakkuk's not teaching. Habakkuk did not teach. He just shared his journal. It's fascinating. He didn't tell the people to repent. He didn't tell the people to return to me. He didn't tell the people to change. Habakkuk is just written as a journal of what he's thinking. So Habakkuk's fascinating. But Jeremiah got after the people and asked them to repent and to change. Verse 12. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah, the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. I mean, Jeremiah is talking to him. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But Zedekiah, he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. And that, moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. Now think about what's going on. The king is evil. There's evil. Evil is rampant. Transgression is rampant. Sin is prevailing. Verse 15, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, and again this the best known is Jeremiah and some of the other minor prophets, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. You know, God keeps sending, please return to me, please return to me. You know, I want to save Jerusalem. I want to save my people. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his word and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, until there was no remedy. There, you know, it just ran out. God's patience ran out. Therefore, God brought upon them the king of the Chaldeans, which was Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, this is not pleasant. It's historical, and it's here for our learning, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that was stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and of the treasuries of the house of the Lord, and the treasuries of the king and of the princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burned the house of God. Wow. I mean, can you imagine? And break down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons into the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years, 70 years, and then God brought them back. But that's the history. That's right where, and Jeremiah, of course, is ministering at that time, but Habakkuk is ministering at that time. Now, can we even imagine what this would be like? I don't know if we can. Let's just imagine. I mean, I don't know, what would you envision in our country being destroyed, in our country personally? What do you love about our country? Imagine the Statue of Liberty being bulldozed, and it's just flattened. You know, I've been to the Statue of Liberty. It's pretty special to me. I you know, it's meaningful to me. You know, the White House is bombed. Washington Monument. I've been up, and I love our country. I love the Washington Monument's flattened. just laying flat. Lincoln Memorial is destroyed. What else would you do? Congress bulldozed. I don't know. Mount Rushmore, gone. Never been there, but I saw pictures from Danny. He says pretty neat. Our flag burned. Ayanna and I were driving to Michael's yesterday for a little craft show. And she says, really, I see something you don't see. It's a flag. We went by it. I didn't see it. I said, let's look for some more American flags. I found some flags. You know, and I said, I love our flag. I mean, I do. I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America. One nation under God, indivisible. I mean, our flag's gone. It's burned. I mean, you know, and it's not coming back. There's no country. The cities are leveled. Indianapolis is burned. Greenfield, a heap of ashes. I mean, I don't think your house is gone. I mean, and I don't want to go any further with your family. Who knows what your family? Family raped, killed, destroyed. I don't know. Maybe they take a few good ones. They say, oh, I'm taking you. We're going back to... And Nebuchadnezzar was pretty sharp. He would pick. Oh, Daniel, I like you. You know, Shadrach, oh, you know, I'm taking you. I mean, but it was a sad time because he'd put the sword through the ones he didn't want or leave the poor there to tend to the land. But it was destroyed. What a horrible time. And if you were to look into somebody's journal, what would it say? Let's go find out. Now, Habakkuk is neatly, and I love what Brother Eric told me this morning. He said, you know what? If we were living at the period of the 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, before the New Testament come, I bet a lot of people would know about Habakkuk. You know, but it seems like now we're more in the New Testament. Okay, let's go to Habakkuk. You say, I can never find Habakkuk. Well, let's break out in song. Okay? Genesis, Exodus. No, I'm not going to go that far. But, you know, go past. You know where the minor prophets are. Go to the New Testament and turn left. And I'm not, I really seriously mean this. There's some awesome lessons in each one of these. And I don't want to say that Habakkuk is my favorite, but it's really, really good. It's not my favorite minor prophet, but it's real. I mean, it's because I've got ties. They're ties, okay? What is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's the fifth book from the New Testament to your left. So let's go to Habakkuk. What would you write? I'll tell you what you might write is exactly what Habakkuk wrote. Look at verse 1. The burden. Ah, the burden. I mean, right there it is. I mean, this was a heavy weight that Habakkuk had. The weight which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. What's the other key word? Well, I don't know. I'm looking at see. Habakkuk saw that. He looked around. Now he does not scold the people. He does not condemn the people. Well, he does condemn the people, but it's not written to the people. He doesn't say repent. If you want to read about that, go to Jeremiah and read Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, you need to return to me. You need to return. Stop this. And we read out in 2 Chronicles, they didn't listen to Jeremiah. It was a sad time. I kind of feel like, just personally, I feel like we're kind of in the middle of this spiral. You know, when I was a young boy, and of course everything's better, the grass is always greener on the other side. But who else is my age? Ken and I. Let's say Ken and I. Because we're buds, growing older together. When Ken and I were kids, I mean, things were more stable. You passed out Bibles in school. You put the Ten Commandments up on the walls. You prayed before you went to lunch. I mean, we were a God-fearing nation, more so, to speak, when we speak of that. And maybe like if you compare it to the time of David in the Old Testament. When David was king, it was a more godly nation. Their nation was more godly. Then the things would spiral. Of course, Israel never was a godly nation, but Judah would kind of ebb and flow. Josiah was at uptime, and then those four other kings. And the way you can remember Zedekiah, WXYZ, who's the last king? Zedekiah. We didn't read about them punching his eyes out, did we? Where was that? How did I miss that? Maybe it's in Kings. But they took Zedekiah, he's the last one, XYZ, end of the alphabet, end of the kings, he's done, Zedekiah's last. And they killed his sons in front of his eyes. This is what the Babylonians did. And this is the burden Habakkuk had. The Babylonians killed his sons. This is really evil. Killed his sons and they poked his eyes out. The last thing he saw was his sons being killed. His family being killed. What a tragic story. This is a burden. And Habakkuk had this burden. Habakkuk felt this burden. And Habakkuk said, verse 2, look at verse 2. Oh Lord, and I don't think it was, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. No, oh Lord, how long? How long shall I cry? And thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee. Of what? Now, look at the description of the nation of Israel at this time. Jeremiah says the same thing. We don't have time to look at it, but I cry out unto thee of violence. Now, think about our nation. I think we're in this stage, at least it seems like to me. And thou wilt not save. Habakkuk says, I'm crying out. I'm crying for revival. You hear that, don't you? You hear that on the radio. Let's pray for revival. And and that's awesome. And I think we should. And we need to. Will God create revival? He can. He did it in Nineveh. He can change our nation today, starting with us. He can change our nation. Is it going to happen? I don't know. Could it? Yes, absolutely. Is it? I don't know. But Habakkuk had a burden. He said, God, I'm praying for revival. I'm praying for the hearts of people to change. I'm praying for our country to get back to Him, and nothing's happening. Why don't you answer me? God, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 2 years. I don't know how to go on. And you know what I love about this? That's the same thing we do sometimes. We pray to God day after day. Nothing happens. You know what? And God doesn't ever answer him. It's interesting. I just love this journal. If Habakkuk knew we were going to read his journal, I don't know if he'd let anybody see it. No, that's not true. I mean, because God designed that. But this is Habakkuk's journey. He had a burden. And he it's what he saw. He'd go to malls and he'd look around. And he'd go to schools and he'd look around. And he'd go to universities and he'd go, oh, whoa, what's going on here? I don't know. Where would you go? But when he saw, he had a burden. And he knew people needed to turn back. Okay, let's read verse 2. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Boy, he didn't like that violence. Boy, we don't either. It's tragic. Verse 3. Why? That's another interesting question, isn't it? You know, how? How long? Well, why? Lord, why dost thou show me iniquity? Why do you show me this and cause me to behold grievance for the spoiling and the destruction and the plundering and the violence are before me? And there are that rise up strife and contention. Boy, do you feel the pain of Habakkuk? I sense that pain in our nation today. Now, this is probably the greatest tragedy. In verse 4, therefore, the law, God's law, is slacked. What that means is paralyzed. It means like your hands get cold. Did you ever go sledding? And you loved it so much you didn't want to go to the car and warm up. Your hands were frozen. Cold, very, very cold. That's what it is. That God's word is like that. You can't move it. There's no activity. It's dead. The law is slack, is what that means. And it's like it suffered a knockout. You know, bang, the law's gone. There's no law. And judgment doth never go forth. In other words, justice doesn't go forth. There's injustice. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. Isn't that a fascinating account? And we're going to stop there. I don't know who gets the exciting opportunity of telling you the solutions. Now, the solutions are a little later. We're not going to get to them. Yeah, I don't want to tell you about verse 4 in chapter 2. No, I don't want to tell you about that. And I don't want to tell you about the last verses either. I mean, there's some exciting... So go home and read this. And I would just encourage you to read it in a Hurlbutz. I was going to go check Hurlbutz. Is this in Hurlbutz, Sunday school teachers? Is the story of Habakkuk in Hurlbutz? If it is, read it. I went to my picture Bible last night, and I tried to find Habakkuk. And I looked through there, and I looked... Okay, come on, where's Habakkuk? Should be about this time. Okay, here's Josiah. Okay, good job. Josiah, Cana, Habakkuk. He's not on this page. So if you can't find him in your Bible story book, I don't know if he's in Hurlbutz. He should be. It's an awesome story. Read it in some different translations. You know, which is basically a Hurlbutz. Find a Hurlbutz and read it, just to get the context. Just read the whole story through, and it'll really—it's a fascinating, fascinating story. Now look. Is this? Do you feel like this is similar to today? I mean, what's going on today? Think about today. It's very similar to this. You know, where there's violence, where there's iniquity, where there's spoiling or destruction, where there's, and violence is repeated twice, and there's strife, and there's contention, and the law of God is frozen, paralyzed, really by corruption. Justice does not go forth, as verse 4 says, and wicked discompass the righteous. It kind of means wickedness will surround the righteous and lock it up and throw away the key. Wickedness will contain the righteous. And that's a sad state of affairs. But as we think about, and he's talking about, here he's talking about a national dilemma. This is national, with the nation of Israel. But think about today. It's international too, isn't it? I mean, think about the global problems going on. Nuclear war. Wars and rumors of wars. You know, death and destruction. Natural catastrophes. I mean, they're happening. The crime rate is soaring. Drugs dominate. In God we trust is no longer in God we trust. The Ten Commandments are thrown out of places, and then people come in and shoot things up. You know, get rid of do not kill. You know, get rid of do not kill. You know, we don't want do God. We don't want Ten Commandments in our nation. You know, what do we want? These lawless killers? That's crazy too, isn't it? I mean, think about it. There's lots of things that's crazy. Things are upside down. Good is called evil, and evil is called good. Reminds me of the guy honking, the semi honking at me. I mean, come on. You know, I'm going to put that bumper sticker. I'm driving the speed limit. Here comes this semi right on my, I mean, like he was 4 foot from Ashley's head in the back seat, honking at me. I don't know. That's a dumb illustration. But it's, you know, they call it driving the speed limit evil. You know, get out of my way. This is wrong. But we live in a nation like that in so many ways. We have a burden, don't we? Don't you have a burden for our nation? What can we do? Well, I could suggest many things. And again, we're going to stop here. But so many interesting stories. God, why don't you answer when I cry out to you? Why don't you cause change? But again, I remind you, Nineveh did. Nineveh changed. It can happen today. You know, when we see this rampant around us, what can we do? I think of Jesus. And Jesus did the same thing. As he saw the multitudes, what did he do? And seeing the multitudes, he went up in the mountain, and his disciples came into him, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. I think that's one of the keys today. People need to get God's word into their hands. Just like Jesus did. That's what he did. He saw the multitudes. He would give them God's word. He would teach them. He would tell them of a right way. Did they always follow? No. One lesson that lingers, and just again, we're going to stop here. One lesson that lingers is that we need to pray. We need to have a burden. We need to see the people the way Habakkuk saw them. We need to pray. And we need to cry out to the Lord. Now, will the Lord hear? Well, that's up to God. God is sovereign. We trust he will. And I guess let's close with Matthew. Let's turn to... I probably closed with this before. I know I have. Go to Matthew 9. So not only did Jesus teach the multitudes, this is something else he did, and I really feel like it's important for us today to see this and to understand this. Matthew 9:35. Now what would Jesus do when he had a burden? I know Jesus had a burden. When he'd see the multitudes... And Jesus went all about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 36, very important. But when he saw and looked at and he beheld and he saw the heartbreak of the people, he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the heart, and this is true, it's so true, the harvest in the world of the fainting people, and I'm injecting his words, that are scattered abroad, that harvest is truly plenteous. But the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That's a prayer of mine. God, send forth me as a laborer into your harvest, as your will be done. Send me forth. Give me a burden. Give me a prayer. And give me a word. And send me forth, just as Jesus asked us. And send forth the 16-year-olds here, that they can be Josiah. Send forth those 16-year-olds wherever they go. Send forth those 20-year-olds like Josiah wherever they go. You know, and change our nation for your glory.
Thanks, Brother Ron. That was a wonderful history lesson and a challenge, and yet even for me a chastisement, because I found myself in the very first thing he read, if you remember that, and I don't know, was that like a poem? Almost a poem? About reading through the Bible or just picking places that we like or that we think maybe would be good for us. Because we know it, we're familiar with that particular scripture, and we think, well, I'm feeling kind of that same way. I'm going to turn right back to that, and God will speak to me through that scripture that I already know. But what was shared this morning was, if we really allow God to solve our problems and interact with what's going on in our lives, His Word is complete and full. And if we just pick and choose, we may be missing the exact point that He wants to make with us in Habakkuk. That might be the point He wants to make. And yet, we avoid it. Or I do, I'm not going to speak for you. I may not even open to Habakkuk because I'm thinking, I'm not going to understand this anyway. And here I am standing up here. And so that's convicting. So thank you. Thanks for convicting me. We need to take the whole Word for what it is. It's critical. It's important. It's God-inspired. And it's for you and me. It's all written for you and me. To take, to use, to read. What a challenge. And you know, he opened there with Habakkuk and read part of that first chapter. I already cheated and read ahead because I wanted to know. He said, Habakkuk was pleading with God, how long do I have to cry? I already wanted to find out. In the second chapter, God answers his prayer. God speaks to him, just like he will with you and me. So don't be fearful. I'm speaking to me. Don't be fearful of the minor prophets, of the areas of Scripture that we don't understand that well, because the Spirit will intercede. The Spirit will provide the understanding and the knowledge and the interpretation that we need to get the point that God wants to make with us. So it's an encouragement for us to read Habakkuk. It's a challenge. Don't fully understand it. But like he said, it's his journal. And I never knew that before till this morning. But the first verse tells us that. So if we really read those, God will speak. And I want to encourage us to do that. I'm encouraging me to do that. So I appreciate what Brother Ron said. May God's Word continue to penetrate our hearts and our spirits. And maybe I need to keep coming back here because you're going to keep doing this, Habakkuk, probably, right? Or somebody's going to take over? Good. All right. I'd like to get the tapes to those. So. Thank you, and thank Brother Ron for his efforts this morning, and one of your brothers selected him.
Within his people, they serve, to the Lord. ask a brother to lead us in prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we turn before you this morning humbly, and we're just so thankful that the word's gone forth in power and in truth. We're so thankful for Brother Ron, his faithfulness for many years, for 39 or 40 years that he's faithfully taught, Lord, and it's so evident to see the wisdom the blessing to hear him preach, Lord. We're thankful for the history lesson, Lord, to go back and see the context that's laid forth in Habakkuk. Lord, we've been challenged how often we tend to skim. We tend to go past such a beautiful text like Habakkuk, maybe because we don't understand. And Lord, it's just good to get a deeper view of the heart of Habakkuk. And Lord, how we can see in our own hearts the same common questions, Lord, the same wrestlings that we have with what we don't understand in this day and age. Lord, we see our nation, we see such evil, even in this week, just to be reminded that it's been 45 years since Roe versus Wade was passed, Lord, and to see such travesties that are now normalized and, Lord, that are so even celebrated. It's such a painful world that we live in. And, Lord, we only got through four verses, but there's so much hope to come in Habakkuk as we look to the questions that are revealed from Habakkuk's prayer, Lord, to know that, God, you're sovereign and that you answer our prayers in ways that are sometimes mysterious that we don't understand, but even how you used the Chaldeans to even wipe out the Israelites, but you had a longer view. You had a plan of redemption and salvation that we find only through Christ. And so, Lord, we just thank you that we can have a hope in this day. Lord, we pray that we would take that hope and share the news of that there is a Savior and that he is alive. And Lord, we just now ask a blessing upon this food. Pray that you bless it to our bodies, the time we can spend over this next hour. Pray that it could be uplifting to you. In your name we pray. Amen.